Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God Israel.
I will share enlightening information on the unqualified term gospel. Statements of concern, 1 Mark 1:15, repent ye and believe the gospel. 2 Mark 1:22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority. Questions of interest, 1. What did Jesus teach that was so astonishing? And 2, Luke 5:21, who is this that speaketh blasphemies? But first, two readings from the Word of God. The commandment of God. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded to be done, starting September 1, 2012, and continuing every month thereafter, everyone 22 years of age and older shall send to the Lord their God, Tommy L. Hart, a check or money order in the amount of $30, payable to Tommy L. Hart. All checks and money orders should be received by the Lord by the 15th of each month. Feel free to offer more than a specified amount. You may also pay for months in advance. Example, make a year's offering and one single offering. State your intention. Send your check or money order to the Lord Tommy L. Hart, Post Office Box 983, Hepzibah, Georgia 30815. To the President and Congress of the United States of America, know by these presents that the Lord your God is at hand. I, the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart, am a citizen of the United States of America. Therefore, America is God's host. That is indeed a wonderful thing. Know also that the law concerning you and your God is is at hand. I say to you, fulfill the law of the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. You, the President and Congress, know that the office of God is most high. You know that God is deserving of great respect and honor. You know that the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart, is the principal dignitary among men. The Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart, is sovereign. You know that the law of God is to be followed, obeyed, and carried out. I will cut to the chase. President and Congress, this is your most urgent and legal duty. You should take the lead and give to the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, his due. Acknowledge him, exalt him, communicate with him, get to know him, provide and take care of him, make known his works, worship him, fear him, obey his commandments. Keep the law of Moses, which the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, has given to you. And do all the things called for in the law concerning the people and their God. Let this be your most urgent declaration among the people. The Lord our God, Tommy L. Hart, reigns. To the President and Congress of the United States of America, I say to you, do not be negligent and do not lie against the truth. You have a duty to perform. Now get with the program. Execute the law that has come from the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. I am the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. Those were readings from the Word of God. Now, as stated, I will speak on the unqualified term, gospel. First, these things. Matthew 22:29. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And as I begin here, I want to say to you, take heed that you be not deceived. Take heed. Pay attention to this information. Pay attention to the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. You do err. Black people, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. I've brought to your attention before that black people have been deceived. They are not the only ones who have been deceived by the Gentiles and the papacy. Others have as well. But I'm speaking specifically to black people. Take heed. You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You've been given false information. Information that is inconsistent with the truths that are in the Bible. You have been tricked. You have been hornswoggled. You have been duped. You've been fooled by the papacy and the Gentiles. And certain others as well. Now, I am here to bring you the truth, one purpose. It is said, you shall know the truth. Truth comes from the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart, according to the Authorized Version Bible. The God of truth, the God having truth, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. So take heed that you may be delivered from the error of your way. Take heed. Hear, listen. Mark 1:15 says, repent ye and believe the gospel. The church says the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Webster's Dictionary says of the gospel, it is the story of Christ's life and teachings, especially as contained in the first four books of the New Testament, that is, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But those definitions are deliberately insincere, deceitful, misleading, disingenuous, and manipulative. They are fraudulent. So I ask again, what is the definition of the unqualified term gospel as used in Mark 1:15, which says, repent and believe the gospel? It is of paramount importance that we have a clear, sincere, and truthful understanding of the unqualified term, gospel. What is gospel? One has said gospel is a doctrine regarded as of prime importance, a doctrine or teaching maintained to be of great importance. Gospel is also called gospel truth. What is gospel truth? Gospel truth is defined as an unquestionable truth. Unquestionable means not open to question, beyond doubt or dispute, indisputable, undeniable, certain. An example, an unquestionable fact. The question, is there a doctrine or teaching which the AVD maintains to be of great importance? Yes, there is. And what doctrine or teaching is that? The doctrine which the Authorized Version maintains to be of great importance is the doctrine or teachings of God, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Now, the gospel of God is mentioned by name in 1 Peter 4:17. And the doctrine, let me say that again. The gospel of God is mentioned by name in 1 Peter 4:17. And the doctrine of God is mentioned by name in Titus 2:10. The gospel concerning God, the gospel coming from God, the doctrine concerning God, and the doctrine coming from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. What have we found? We have found that gospel is a doctrine maintained to be of great importance. We have found that doctrine is a synonym for gospel. Now we are getting somewhere. Gospel, unqualified, is equal to doctrine or teachings. What are whose doctrine or teachings? It is the doctrine of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. It is the teachings of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. But another term was introduced, which is gospel truth, defined as an unquestionable truth. Is there a gospel truth in the doctrine of God? And if so, what does it say? Yes, there is a gospel truth in the doctrine of God. It says, this man, Tommy L. Hart, is the great power of God. That statement is an unquestionable truth. It is a gospel truth. This too is a gospel truth. The term gospel is a reference to the doctrine, the teachings of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Now, knowing these three words, gospel, doctrine, and gospel truth, and knowing their meaning and understanding their application, we now have a good sense of what the unqualified term gospel refers to in the statement, Mark 1:15, the commandment which says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Understandably, the commandment says, repent ye and believe the doctrine, the teachings of God, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Note this, that the gospel of the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, is the same as the doctrine and teachings of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. And a gospel truth is this man, Tommy L. Hart, is the great power having the designation of God. The word gospel does not appear in the Old Testament. And I need to check that out because when I wrote that, I had the intention of really checking it out. But I don't believe the word gospel appears in the Old Testament. I believe it first surfaces in the New Testament. But I'll check that out. And if I'm wrong, when I come before you again, I will correct that. Is the gospel a new idea? Is it a new thing? Is there a new commandment set down in Mark 1:15 saying, repent and believe the gospel, which is the doctrine of the Lord, Tommy L. Hart? That's a good question. In the same chapter 1 of Mark, it is asked, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? Remember, Ecclesiastes 1:10 asks, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? My answer is this. The gospel, as mentioned in Mark 1, is not a new idea. It is not a new thing. The Mark 1:15 statement is not a new commandment. The Old Testament teaches you should put your trust in the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Frankly, you are commanded to trust the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. When you trust the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, you trust his word. You trust his teaching. You trust his doctrine. Also, when it says believe the gospel, it says essentially believe his, the Lord Tommy L. Hart's word, which is the same as saying believe the Lord Tommy L. Hart's work. Believe the Lord Tommy L. Hart's works. All those are Old and New Testament teachings. That you believe the gospel, the doctrine, the teachings of the Lord Tommy L. Hart is not a new idea in the New Testament. It is not a new concept in the New Testament. It is the continuation of Old Testament teaching. The Old Testament, Psalm 105 verse 2 says, talk ye of all his wondrous works. And in Psalm 105 verse 1, the Old Testament says, make known his deeds among the people. Right next door, Psalm 106 verse 1, the Old Testament says, praise ye the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. So what have we learned thus far? We have learned that the definition of gospel as used in Mark 1:15 is not the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That definition is a fraud. Gospel, unqualified, as in Mark 1:15, is not the teachings of Jesus and the apostles. It is not the Christian revelation. Those things are fraud. It is not the story of Christ's life and teachings, especially as contained in the first four books of the New Testament, namely Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we have learned that the unqualified term gospel, as spoken of in Mark 1:15, is a reference to the doctrine, the teachings of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Now, you should be able to state clearly what gospel, the unqualified term gospel, means. And I will repeat that. Gospel unqualified, as set forth in Mark 1:15, is a doctrine maintained to be of great importance. Remember that. Gospel unqualified is a doctrine or teaching maintained to be of great importance. And that doctrine, which the Authorized Version maintains to be of great importance, is the doctrine of God, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. We now know who the Lord is. We know who the Lord God is. I've said before, and I've given these things, all things define God. All things show clearly, conclusively, definitively, that Tommy L. Hart is the Lord God. The man, Tommy L. Hart, is the great power having the designation of God. Okay, now. Don't forget those things. Are you taking heed? Are you paying attention? In the definition I have given for gospel, you see clearly that it differs greatly from the definitions the church and Webster's dictionary give. Great difference. I've said before, the church has not preached the gospel. They haven't even preached the truth concerning Jesus. When the church, I won't say that right now. Okay, so let me move forward. Keep in mind gospel. Keep in mind the commandment. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The gospel. Gospel unqualified. This gospel comes from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Another word there is that I just want to lay before you is truth. Truth. I was talking about gospel truth. An unquestionable statement or fact. Gospel truth. The Authorized Version raises the question, what is truth? I will read this statement coming from the Authorized Version. John 17:17. This word is spoken to me, the Lord God. It says, thy word is truth. Thy, Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, your word is truth. Okay. And I'll just let that just go with that for right now. There's a statement in the Authorized Version that says, God shall send forth his truth. To be more precise, it says something like, God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. But I'm speaking about truth. God shall send forth his truth. It says to me, as I showed you, John 17:17, it is said to me, thy word is truth. God shall send forth his truth. God shall send forth his word. That's what I'm doing now. That's what I've been doing since appearing on this program. Sending forth my word. Sending forth my truth. And I've said before, too, that the term truth is another word for gospel. I won't take that away. We have these terms. We have gospel, gospel truth, doctrine, and truth. Okay. Now, I will speak concerning Jesus. And the first thing I want to bring to your attention is this set forth in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. I want to read it. It says in Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, according to this text, Joseph and Mary are married. But while he, Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, in this text, the angel, it says angel of the Lord, appears to Joseph in a dream. And in verse 21 it says, and she, speaking of Mary, the wife of Joseph, according to the above, she shall bring forth a son, and thou, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And let me stop right there and go to Luke. Luke chapter 1. No, Luke chapter 2. Okay, I want the part 2 where, let's go back to part, chapter 1 of Luke and see what it said there. Now, remember what was spoken in Matthew chapter 1. Joseph and Mary. Joseph is called the husband of Mary in Matthew chapter 1. It was said that to Joseph that his wife would bring forth a son, and that Joseph was to call the son's name Jesus. Okay, now, Luke, the Luke account. Starting with Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, don't make any judgments yet. Please don't. If you have already, or you already have judgments already, set them on the table. You know, I've heard, people have said, I lay my religion down on the table and I do this or that. And I say, set your religion, your religious teachings on the table and take heed to this. It's said in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in to her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored." Now, remember the account given in Matthew 1. Reading on, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, this is Mary, and cast doubt in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great." Remember these things. This account, one appears to Mary. In the Matthew account, one appeared to Joseph. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" You don't get that in the Matthew account. "And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, I turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 6. "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she, Mary, should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Okay. Now, the two accounts differ. And if you were paying attention, you would have seen, you should have seen the differences. I ask this question here. Is Jesus the Son spoken of in Isaiah 7:14? Better yet, is Mary the Virgin spoken of in Isaiah 7:14? Let me say it this way. Is the Mary spoken of in Matthew 1:24-25 and Luke 2:7 the one spoken of in Isaiah 7:14? Now I turn back to the Matthew account. I stopped at the end of verse 21. I begin with Matthew 1:22. Now all this was done. Now, this is after the one had spoken to Joseph. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled," and the word "might" there, a shadow of doubt. Okay. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." I'll stop there. Let me say this. The statement in Matthew 1:23, which says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child," is a misquote. It is a misquote. That is not what Isaiah 7:14 says. Let's go to Isaiah 7:14 and see what it says. Okay, Isaiah 7:14. Take heed, pay attention. Pay careful attention. Therefore, Isaiah 7:14, therefore, I'm sorry, I begin with the word behold in Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Let me read the definition Webster gives for virgin. Virgin, a young woman, especially a young woman who has never had sexual intercourse. And there's a B to it. It says, an unmarried girl or woman. All right? And I ask again, this is the question. Is the marriage spoken of in Matthew 1:24-25 and Luke 2:7, the one spoken of in Isaiah 7:14? And remember, there's a misquote in the Matthew account, a misquote of Isaiah 7:14. The two statements are not the same. Isaiah 7:14 says, a virgin shall conceive. Matthew 1:23 says, a virgin shall be with child. Those statements are different. They do not say the same thing. They don't imply the same thing. They are different. Right? Now, remember the question I asked. Is the Mary, the Matthew 1 Mary, the one spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. For Mary and Matthew and Luke to be the woman spoken of in Isaiah 7:14, then Mary must fill the bill for Isaiah 7:14. She must meet all requirements. The Isaiah statement says, a virgin shall conceive. Now, I ask you the question, how can a virgin conceive? A virgin can conceive by doing what it takes for a woman to conceive or become pregnant. That's what the statement says. A virgin shall conceive. How does a female conceive? How does a female become pregnant? You have to ask the question. It does not say what the Matthew account says, a virgin shall be with child. Mm-hmm. Are you getting the picture? Is the Mary of Matthew and Luke the same as the woman spoken of in Isaiah 7:14? And you can't count the statement in Matthew 1:23, a virgin shall be with child, because that is a misquote. So that does not enter into the, it's not acceptable as a part of the equation. It's a misquote. And again, with reference to Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive. You must consider the question of how can a virgin conceive? Now, of course, the simple answer is by going with a man, by having sexual intercourse with a man. And the thing being done, whatever it takes for a woman to conceive. the Isaiah account or statement does not give, there is no implication of something miraculous being done. It just says, a virgin shall conceive, and I must ask the question, how can a virgin conceive? Okay? But that's not all. Isaiah says, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Okay? Mary conceived. Brought son. But listen, Isaiah says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Is the Matthew and Luke accounts, are the Matthew and Luke accounts consistent with that? No, they're not. Isaiah says, she shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. The Matthew account says, they shall call his name. In 21, Matthew 1:21 says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now watch this. In my book, Jesus is in bold print and all capital letters in Matthew 1:21. Bold print in Matthew 1:21 and Matthew 1:25. Okay? Now let me read Matthew 1:24-25. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took to him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What is said in the Luke account? In the Luke account, I'm turning to it. Again, in Luke 1:31, the name Jesus is in bold and is in all caps. Okay, so why? That's the question. Why is Jesus in bold, all capital letters? Because it's a red flag. It's a red flag. It says, oops. You know, to me it says, oops, mistake, okay? The Isaiah account says, she shall call his name, call the child's name, Emmanuel. Matthew and Luke accounts say his name is called Jesus. Now, there's a big difference between Jesus and Emmanuel. You can't get Jesus out of Emmanuel, or you can't get Emmanuel out of Jesus. So, again, the question, is the Mary spoken of in Matthew 1, verses 24-25, and Luke 2:27, Matthew 1, verses 24-25, and Luke 2, verse 7, the one spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. The question becomes, does Mary fill the bill of Isaiah 7:14? Obviously not. Not. Because of the things I pointed out. And that's why in my Bible, in Matthew, the citations I gave for the bold print and the use of all capital letters, that's why they are there. to let you know something is wrong. Something is not right. In order for one to be the one spoken of in Isaiah 7:14, they must meet all the requirements. If they do not meet all the requirements, then that's not a match. It's not a match. Now, I take it you can read. I hope you can read. I hope you can hear me. I hope you can understand. I hope you have the ability to understand simple things. What things are written in the book? Forget what they tell you in the church. The church tells you Mary is the virgin spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. But when I read the book myself, I see that Mary does not fill the bill. She does not meet the requirements set down in Isaiah 7:14. In Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive. All young women and old women at one point were virgins. They started life as virgins, all women. Okay? And at some time, that virgin, in many cases, goes with a man and does whatever it takes to have a baby. That's all Isaiah 7:14 says. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. And I say it again. You must ask the question, how can a virgin conceive? And you should come up with the only answer by doing whatever it takes to conceive. And the statement in Matthew, which says, a virgin shall be with child, is a misquote. Now these things are written for your knowledge. They are written for your good. Okay. They are written for your good, that you may understand. Because the church, as I've said once before, the church, the Christian church, teaches diametrical differences to many of the things taught in the Bible. It teaches diametrical differences. Mm-hmm. Keep that thing in mind. That is a big thing. Because the church bases its teaching on, and they quote, what every Christmas I've seen them go to Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Jesus, in the four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is not called Emmanuel. That's why Jesus, in the text that I pointed out, having the name Jesus, boldface, and having all capital letters, using all capital letters, that's why it's like that. That's why it's like that. The bold face, all caps, says, look at this. Look at this. This is not what Isaiah 7:14 says. Isaiah 7:14 says, she shall call his name, her son's name, Emmanuel. People, the church has lied. The church keeps on lying. Misleading misguiding, misteaching deliberately. The Christian church is an evil, as I have pointed out before. The Christian church is a sinister, a wicked outfit, organization. It teaches lies. Now, I can read, and I am not misunderstanding anything that I've taught in this episode thus far concerning Mary and the statement in Isaiah 7:14. They are not a match. Now, if they are not a match, people, think. Be attentive. Pay attention. If they are not a match, that changes everything. Mary is not the one prophesied, or spoken of, rather, in Isaiah 7:14. That means her son is not the son spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. Because in Isaiah 7:14 it says, easy to understand, print, writing, lettering, letters, everything. Easy to understand. She shall call her son Emmanuel. Mary's son is called Jesus and is not called Emmanuel. The two don't even sound alike. They have nothing in common, you know, as far as with sounding and all. So you can't get confused and say, well, they sound alike. No, they don't sound alike. They don't look alike. Emmanuel and Jesus. A big difference. No wonder the writers put Jesus in Matthew account, in the Matthew account of the birth, and the Luke account of the birth of the Son. No wonder they put the name Jesus in boldface and capital letters, saying, hey, look at this. Consider this. Take this into consideration. And they give the text right there in the scriptures, Matthew and Luke. I know the Matthew account does, about 7:14, Isaiah. They give it there in the middle section of my page. You know, I see Isaiah 7:14 when it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That's the Matthew statement. That's verse 23W looks like in my Bible. So when I look at 23W in the middle margin, I see Isaiah 7:14. So they want me to make a comparison of the two accounts. You know, the Matthew-Luke account and the Isaiah 7:14 account. Two accounts or three accounts, however you want to count them. I'm counting the Matthew account and the Luke account as one. And then you have the Isaiah 7:14 account, too. They want, the writer's intent is that you see the difference. And you see that the church is lying. When you say that Mary's conceiving and bringing forth a son, and calling his name Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. What a lie. What a big lie. I believe the book. Now, I've taken much more time on this than I thought because I have a lot of other information regarding the topic of Jesus. Okay? But it seems like I'll have to do that next time, hopefully. This So there's no need in me getting started. I have four more minutes, four or six more minutes, and there's no way I can do that in 6 minutes. So let's continue. I have written here that Mary, the mother of Jesus, does not feel the bill for the woman spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, her son does not feel the bill for the son spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. No match. No comparison. Okay. The two are different. And remember there, in the Matthew 1 account, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. That is a misquote. Misquote. Now, I've told you before, Jesus is a fictitious character. Mary is a fictitious character. The story is fictitious. Okay? And it's about the law. It's about the law. I don't want to give away what I'm going to speak on the next time as I continue this teaching on this concerning Jesus. But I've already spoken about it in episodes past. I mean, so it's not a secret, you know. I've said those things, these things before, but I don't want to say them tonight. I want to say them for the next time. So keep in mind that Jesus and Mary do not fill the bill. They do not meet the requirements set down in Isaiah 7:14. Which the church, the Christian church, says they do. The Christian church has lied. The Christian church lies all the time. The Christian teaching is founded on lies. It's set up on lies. It's established in lies. On lies. The Christian church is a lying outfit. It's a lying game. The Christian church does not deserve respect because they fool people. They fool people in their teaching. They want you to think that their teachings are biblical when they are not. To say that Jesus and Mary are the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. To say that, that's unfounded, which I've showed and pointed out. It's unfounded. It's not so. It's a lie. The Christian church lies. That's a big deal, people. That's a big deal, black people. And I'm talking to all people, but was especially to black people. That's a big deal. Repent. That's why you're told, repent and believe the gospel. Believe the teachings of God, the Lord God, Tommy Hart. Who points out the way, who points out the truth to you. And if you take heed and obey him, you will be delivered from your state of deception. Depart from evil. The Christian church is an evil outfit. Christianity is an evil religion. Christianity is against God. It is against the Bible. But they want you to think they love God They want you to think they love the Bible, and they read scriptures to you. But there's a twist. There's a twist. God, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, points out the truth and say, here's the way it is, people. That's why you're told, repent ye, believe the gospel, the teachings of Tommy L. Hart, the Lord God. Turn from your wicked way, you know, way of religion, way of the church, the Christian church. Turn from evil, the way of the Christian church, the way of religion. Turn to the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. Simple instruction. Simple, easy to follow instructions. Pay attention. Pay attention. Do you love the truth? Do you love that which I teach? Are you receiving the things that I teach? If you are receiving the things that I teach, then you are rejecting. You are rejecting that which Christianity teaches. The two don't go together. You can't believe me and believe them. You either believe one or the other. You can believe the liars, or you can believe my word, which is truth, backed by the Bible, backed by the Bible. Yes, the church reads scriptures to you too. But see, through my teaching, you should learn better. You should learn better. You should know now that the church is evil, that the Christian church teaches lies. It teaches diametrical lies to the truth of things in the Authorized Version Bible, that the Christian church sees the teachings of the Bible as its enemy, and therefore it sees the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, as its enemy. Because what am I doing? I am exposing it. I'm exposing it for what it is. An evil organization, an evil outfit, teaches lies, deceives the people. Has the people in bondage to lies and to a thing that is to that which does not exist. Jesus is a fictitious character. And they have you, many of you, and many of your family members and all, waiting on Jesus to come. And there is no Jesus to come. But there is a God that is here, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Receive the truth. Turn to me, the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. Join me next time. Watch my page for the next appearance.